podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Brandon Phoenix, aka I Also Hate Pitt, joined by
Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix in the building.
We are the Raspy Voice Kids. You are now tuned into the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. I just got a fresh cut, a fresh shave. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. And you are tuned into pop culture.
Hit you with that pop.
Today, we want to know, what is the worst pain you have ever been in your life? And Jeremy, I know what most of the women listening will say. They're going to say childbirth.
Yeah, that's probably what they're going to say.
But the thing about childbirth that's so interesting to me is 50% of the population has never experienced childbirth. Right?
Okay.
Which means the other half could lie about what is really happening during childbirth to make us feel a certain way. Now, I'm not going to say they're lying. I'm just going to say we don't know. Maybe it's not as bad as they report.
No, hold on. Well, I think what's funny is we talk about our own personal pain, and immediately from the rip, you decide you want to pick a fight. You decide the first thing you'll do is just come out swinging for no reason, unprovoked, just for no reason.
Your brother has chosen violence today because I've been saying it for a long time. There's a difference between man pain and woman pain. There's a difference. Man pain is the full expression of pain. Women pain oftentimes is the dainty version. So like they always say we get the man flu, saying that when we're sick, we're not really as sick as we pretend to be. And what I say is the germs that we have inherited are much more difficult to deal with than what they deal with. So they shot the first shot. I'm just responding. How do we know? That's all I'm saying.
I remember you one tweet saying, just thank God that you never have to deal with this man flu.
Thank it. Just thank him. You got to thank him because you don't even know what this is like, ladies. Hey, ladies. But Jeremy, okay, so now that we got that out of the way, what is it you have dealt with that was the worst pain you've ever been in?
Look, I've torn my Achilles. I know you have too. And that was bad, but it wasn't as bad as people say it was.
I've torn two Achilles, son.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. Excuse me, everybody. He is torn two Achilles. That's bad, but you know, that was the worst pain I've ever been in. My back has also went out. The sciatic nerve, that was painful, very painful. Couldn't get comfortable. Just annoying, burning feeling. I've had stitches. I fractured an ankle. And none of these compare to the pain I'm about to tell you. Listen here. And maybe I'm wrong. Let me know if I'm wrong. But the worst pain, I was going to say the worst pain ever, but you know what? I can't be wrong because I'm talking about me. The worst pain I, J.M. Fiend, have ever experienced. Brandon, when you have that abscess tooth, that, and I'm not just talking about annoying. I'm talking about when it hits full scale, there is nothing you can do. You can't think. Ibuprofen doesn't touch it. Your whole head's pounding. It's ringing. It's hurting. And there is nothing you can do. It's the most miserable thing in the entire world. Absolutely. Like with my back, I could find certain spots that I could be okay in. With my Achilles, there's certain things you can do. When that tooth hits, it's just your brain. It's like, I've never had a migraine, but it's like a migraine extra level. There's just nothing. There's no distraction. There's no nothing. For me, no question, a severely abscess tooth is the worst.
You're gonna say I've never had a migraine, but it's like a migraine extra. Okay.
So I've heard.
I will say for me, I've never had an abscess tooth. However, quick research told me that over 200,000 cases per year happen in the United States. So you are not alone in that pain. There's a lot of people who deal with that on a relatively regular basis. I've heard is nothing like a toothache. That's why for me, typically, I don't let my teeth get into a bad situation just because as soon as they hurt, as soon as there's anything feels uncomfortable, out of place, out of norm, I go to the dentist. because I don't want to feel that pain. I don't ever want to know what that's like. Because I've been warned. I've been warned over and over again.
I don't want to ever feel like I did that day.
Take me to the place I love. All right. But yeah, so for me, like you said, I've torn both of my Achilles. And the truth is, tearing the Achilles is not the worst pain in the world.
No, it's not. Not at all. It's overrated. People who say it's the worst, no, it's uncomfortable.
It's very
annoying. Yes. It's like sitting on your leg for a long, when you first do it, was like burning water down the back of your leg. And then after that, it's just think of the most uncomfortable your leg could ever feel. And then realizing you can do nothing about it.
I've sprained ankles that hurt worse than my torn Achilles. But the surgery, the pain after the surgery, especially the first one, because what happened to me was like, I'm coming back better than ever. I started rehabbing immediately after surgery like a moron, probably because of the drugs that I was under. And I busted the stitches, made it, you know, bleed and all that kind of stuff. And that was pretty bad pain. But that's not even close to the worst pain I've ever been in. Jeremy, I had torn cartilage in my shoulder. And I needed what they call slap repair. So the anesthesiologist is talking to me and they're wheeling me back, getting ready to put me under, give me that good stuff. And the anesthesiologist says, yeah, this is the worst, most painful elective surgery you can have. And I said, why didn't anyone tell me that before? And he said, which was a very logical response, because if we told you before, you wouldn't agree to it. So I thought that makes sense. That dude was not lying. When I came out, I was fine because you're all numbed up from all the medication they put in you, all the medication that you inhale, all the medication they inject, all that stuff. I'm telling you, Jeremy, the next day I woke up, it hurt so bad. I was sleeping on the couch. It hurt so bad that I called the doctor because I thought that I had ripped something apart or knocked something out of place from the surgery. Like, I thought I was going to cry. That's how bad it was.
Yeah,
it was, and I was taking Vicodin or whatever they'd give me, Vicodin, Percocet, I can't remember which one, but you know, something's fairly strong, relatively strong. That pain, I've never experienced anything like it. And like you said, you cannot concentrate. I could not concentrate. I've heard about people talking about kidney stones being that way. I've heard of people talking about childbirth, of course, being that way. But like I said, for me, my personal experience, that shoulder repair was the worst pain I've ever experienced.
The funny thing about my abscess tooth is I now remember, you talk about the worst pain. I remember the dentist numbing up my gums and he's like, do you need some more? Like, can you feel anything? I'm like, yeah, I can feel stuff. Give me another shot. He gave me three different shots and he started working again. I was like, no, I can still feel it. He goes, yeah, this is what happens when you wait this long.
Yep, bingo.
This is, first of all, that unprofessional dentist had the nerve to say, this is what happens when you wait that long. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't one of my pearly whites. It was one of my molars in the back. It actually broken. And I was like, oh, I'll get it. Waited too long, procrastinated a little too much. And boy, did it never, I promise you, never again. Never again.
Yep. You never forget that. It's like your first love, son. Well, that's what we got. That's what we have for the Raspy Voice Kids Pop Culture. We talked about pain. What have you experienced that you would call the worst pain in your life? Let the RVK know. You know how to get at us, so get at your boys.
Raspy Voice!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Welcome to Between Two Bears, the newest 1012 Network podcast. This is Matt is Bear. I'm going to introduce my co-host, Evan Abear, to give you a quick idea of what the show is about.
Yeah, Between Two Bears is going to be Between Two Bears is going to be a great look at the silly and sometimes stupid... Between Two Bears is going to be a great look at the silly and sometimes stupid side of Baylor sports. Hey, I'm going to try one more time. Between Two Bears.
Okay, Evan's going to go take a nap, but we are excited to join the 1012 Network along with the rest of their already great lineup of Big 12 podcasts. Check them out at 1012 Network on Twitter, and us as well at Matt Is Bear and at Evan Hebert. Sick 'em Bears.
That's right. Guess who's Bizak? Back in the house, back in the building. RVK coming at you. These five questions, we gonna drop five answers. Woo! Let's go.
And we're back with another edition of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan, and let's get things started with the first blank. Getting the transfers Wesley McCormick, Jalen Shelton, Jazeer Cox, and Tyreek Austin Cave has me feeling blank.
It has me feeling better. I felt terrible about the transfer portal because we had so many out and so little in, and now it's kind of balancing out. Most importantly, the depth at spots where we needed depth, like in the secondary, like with our linebackers, has me feeling better. I like the secondary additions more, probably. I don't know. It's not fair to say I like them more. I like them equally. We'll see what actually happens. But I'm excited and I feel better.
Yeah, I think if I feel it has me feeling like we see the spots that the team feels comfortable with. There was no Jared Dagey transferring in because with JT Daniels coming in, they felt comfortable with it. There's no need for a running back. Dixon just came. The receivers, they must be feel pretty confident in because we didn't bring in receivers. We didn't bring in offensive linemen. It shows me that they feel pretty confident with the offensive side of the ball. And the reason why I always focus on the offensive side of the ball is because the defense side of the ball has been doing a solid job since this regime, since Jordan Leslie has been the DC the last couple years. So it just shows us, you know, that they are confident in what we got at offense, on offense.
Number two, blank was in the right during the Nick Saban Jimbo Fisher debacle.
Is this even a question? Is he not our king? I speak of King Saban, who was in the right. Not Jimbo, the cheater who's already on sanctions, a show cause for his butt. Now, they're both West Virginians, so in my own way, I try to root for them both. But don't ever come at the king, even if he comes for you. Team Saban.
You called him the king. Jimbo said he walks on water. But the answer is Jimbo was in the right. Jimbo was in the right. Just so because something's true doesn't mean you need to say it. Nick Saban will get out on national TV and start talking. Go do that chirping. Like I said, don't start. No stuff won't be no stuff. Now this whole thing's starting. Hey, look, Jimbo just said his two cents. He came strong with it. But that's because Nick popped off to begin with. Look, I don't care how you feel, but most importantly, don't put it out here for the public, for public consumption. If you felt a certain way, if you want to talk to the boosters, I don't know, you can figure out a different way to do it. But now my name's up on ESPN, and people worried and wondering about me when I'm supposed to be your boy, when I coached on your staff, when I'm from your same state. Nah, the man in the wrong is Nick Saban.
Number four. JT Daniels being a Vegas top 10 Heisman QB candidate has you feeling blank.
Higher than top 10 Heisman quarterback, Jeremy. The man is a top 10 overall Heisman candidate. According to Las Vegas odds, I feel elated. I wasn't sure what to think about getting JT Daniels because the man can't stay healthy. But the fact that he's got this kind of hype coming from the most unbiased service possible, which is the gambling sector, I'm elated. JT Daniels for Heisman.
Has me feeling weary, man. I want to be excited because anytime you talk about a team, it's usually a good thing. Anytime the media talks about a team, it's always good for the program. But what these people trying to do to me, I think they trying to make the Kool-Aid extra strong because they know I'm trying to resist. And I know you're going to say, yeah, they did that just for you. They did. The sports guys did. They wanted me back in. They need me back in. And I don't know. Like, I just feel it's a little weird. Like, man, what are you doing to me? I hope they're right. Not a lot of times are they wrong. I hope they're not on this because my faith is gone. If in fact he doesn't boom.
Number 4. WVU's blank team will be the most successful team in 2022.
Jeremy, how could you even make this a question? How could you even consider this? Why would you even make me tell you what it should or should be more than obvious? The rifle team, Jeremy. The rifle team. 2022, it's shooting again. Pew, pew, once again. Why? Because we already have the pedigree. We already have the coaching staff. We already have the history. But more importantly, we just got a transfer from Kentucky, who is an Olympic champion, to join the roster. Now, say what you want about what Neil Brown's building in football. Say what you want about what Bob Huggins has rebuilt in basketball. Ain't nobody touching rifle. That's a fact.
I love it, man. Drop that knowledge. Let them know. It ain't just football, basketball, baseball. All sports, baby. We up on it all. Talk about the transfer. Look at you go. The answer is clearly rivalry. Also, clearly somebody was trying to bait us to either go too high or come in too strong on the other two most prominent sports at West Virginia. You've lost your mind. I just can't put the faith in football. I believe it when I see it. I'm sorry. Basketball's under that same category. I hear a lot of people talking about the transfers and how we're going to have a really good year. Hey, I believe in Huggins, but I don't know about this year. Answer's clearly rivalry.
Number 5. Between Bronny James and Arch Manning, I would invest my stock in blank.
Arch. Golden Arch. Whatever you want to call Arch Manning, he's the pick. LeBron James is one of the greatest basketball players, arguably by some, the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. His son, who's a good 6 inches shorter than him, not ranked in the top 20 for basketball players in his class, and doesn't have the mass that his father possesses, is not even close. Bronny James might have a good college career. I'm not even sure the man will make the NBA, even though LeBron seems to be sure of that. Arch Manning has not one person in his family, not two people in his immediate family, but three. From his grandfather to his father, from his grandfather to both of his uncles, who made it to the NFL. On top of that, he's the number one recruit in his class. Arch Manning has not only the pedigree and the hype, he's got the tangibles. He has proven himself on the high school level. Bronny James hasn't reached that yet. There's no way I'm putting stock in it. Now, Grant, what you might say is, if you put stock in Bronny James, you're starting at a lower level, so there's a higher return rate, high risk, high reward. I like the blue chip stocks. I invest in Apple. I like Tesla. I like those stocks that I know I'm getting a return, even if it's not as great as maybe a Dogecoin. Do with that what you will.
Look, just because I don't like your attitude about the question, you don't downplay my question so much, I will not be reasonable, and I'm picking Bronny, okay? Why do I pick Bronny? Oh, I'm not just being stubborn. Because at quarterback, you never know. In a physical game like football, with the injuries that come about, I think you have way higher probability in football to have a career-ending injury that doesn't propel you forward. Now, I know he can run. But how many quarterbacks have we seen go down or hurt their knee or hurt their leg and change their career forever? Can he take the pound in the pocket? I don't know. Probably his brothers did. But all you need is one bad play. And I'll be for real. That doesn't really happen in basketball. Bronny is not Greg Oden. He's not 7 foot. He is not, down there in New Orleans. How am I forgetting his name?
Zion.
He's not Zion, 364 pounds playing basketball, jumping above the rim. at his size and speed, you and athleticism, you wouldn't think injuries would have as big of a factor. I'm just saying there's way more liability when it comes to a quarterback in the pocket than there is a basketball player on the court. And you say he's outside the top 20, maybe so. But he's still a blue chipper, and there's a lot of good
he's
players.
He's not top 20 a blue chip?
Yeah, I consider blue chip. Anyway, okay. So my answer is Bronny James. There you go. Well, it's very clear who won. I got five on it. Thank you very much.
Big shout out to everybody. Thank you.
Big shout outs to everybody. We got your five answers. We got the Bronny James. Hey, we going in next segment.
Rap me, boys.
I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard. And I'ma go hard. And I'ma go hard.
We are going in. I am Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix. I'm here with my brother,
Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I also hate Pitt.
Got a few things to talk about. The first thing we're going to talk about are the transfers coming in. Now, usually, if it's one or two transfers, it's not that big of a deal. JT Daniels was a big deal. The running back from Clemson was a big deal. But we got four coming in. Two defensive backs, two linebackers from different schools, from different places. There's a James Madison University defensive back, Wesley McCormick, who's coming into play. He started 2 years. You got Jalen Shelton, JUCO player, who's also gotten games for two straight years. You got a linebacker from North Dakota State, Jazeer Cox, and the linebacker from Miami, Tariq Austin Cave. Four players coming in relatively pretty quick. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, I think Neil Brown and company went out and did what they had to do. We were thin in the secondary. We were thin at linebacker. We lost people because of transfers, and everybody's like, well, the guy behind him was pushing him. The guy behind him is better. Well, the guy behind him may not play every single moment of every single game, right? So you need backups. So every time people say that, I'm like, you aren't thinking this through. People get hurt. People get tired. You need to have solid quality backups. Well, I think they addressed that, and they answered those questions with these transfers, which makes me feel good about the state of the program at this juncture.
Especially when you get deeper into the year, when you start getting into Big 12 play and you get them, you know, big bodies and those, you know, extremely fast and quick and hungry. I mean, I know Pitt has some players. I know Virginia Tech has players, but it's really the grind of the Big 12 where you really start seeing that depth, especially because it's later on in the years, injuries start to accumulate. You're going to need these bodies, and it is important. It is really important. The fact that we got two defensive backs, both of them had pretty good playing time. One kid started 2 years. The other dude played some the first 2 years. It's just really big for us. To get those linebackers is really big for us. But I will also say, this last year I've been really more negative than anything. And I can just hear after the first game, if we lose against Pitt, yeah, well, you know, we got some young guys. You can see a couple guys got tired when the backups came in. But, you know, they'll learn. That's not an excuse. That's a reason. I get that. I don't want to hear it. I guess what I'm just saying is I don't want any excuses. I know these guys are coming in. I know we got a couple guys.
Wait. You don't want any excuses for what? Not going undefeated?
Losing to Pitt.
Pitt is favored by 6.5 points.
Brandon,
Pitt is a top 10 ranked team. Pitt won their conference last year.
Yeah,
I know we don't like losing to Pitt, but to sit there and say there's no excuse for losing to Pitt is absurd, in my opinion.
You lose your starting quarterback and your best receiver.
And you're still ranked number 9 by a lot of outlets. You're still favored by 6.5 by unbiased Vegas. You're still playing at Heinz Field, which I know is not the advantage most teams have. But still, you're going to tell me there's no excuse for losing to them early?
No, I'm not saying no excuse. I'm just saying
you did say no excuse.
Okay. Well, I'll take it back. Sorry. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm not saying no excuse. Saying I don't want to hear it. After last year, after the way we ended last year, punched in the gut and the games that I saw, like for me, this is a no excuse year. I'm sorry. So maybe we don't have to win it, but we can't be doing the same things that we did last year. We can't have the same mistakes that we had last year. Maybe we don't have to win it, but we do have to play well. That's the way I feel. Because we've been talking about the whole time building a culture, building a way you do things. If I see us losing the same ways, undisciplined ways, I'm going to say, what are you building? Because I just saw the same thing I saw 3 years ago. And the things we hang our hat on is about the culture you're building and about the way you do business. 3 years in, we should be there.
That makes sense to me. I agree with you.
So, hey, transfers are big. Winning's bigger. Speaking of winning, all these outlets. This is the time of year when all kinds of stuff's going on and people are putting out their preseason All-Americans and their Heisman Trophy candidates and who's going to win the conference. Between now and September, it's only going to ramp up week by week. There's a lot here. Vegas has us going 5-5. But then you look and there's certain outlets that have us finishing top five in the whole Big 12. You got Vegas having JT Daniels as a top 10 Heisman contender to start out the year. The hype train is real, Brandon. Are you anywhere near it right now?
I don't think the hype train's real. There's two different Vegas outlets now, two of them, Caesar's Palace being one, that has our over-under win margin at 5.5, Jeremy. There's no hype at being over-under for 5.5. None. Coming off a season where you won 7 games, and everybody wants to say this roster is greatly improved, and 5.5 is what two different Vegas outlets have said. I don't think there's a hype train. I think there's a JT Daniels hype train, but there's not a West Virginia University football team hype train. And I'm curious, like Big Game Boomer, who most people won't take seriously, myself included, but he has West Virginia finishing last in the Big 12 behind Kansas. So. Yeah. I don't think there's a big hype train for the football team. There's a big hype train for JT Daniels.
So, Brandon, when you say last year you said Deggy, West Virginia will go as far as Deggy will take us. Do you feel the same way about JT Daniels this year?
No. If JT Daniels was a Lamar Jackson, was a Michael Vick, was a Donovan McNabb, some guy who could beat you with his legs and take over a game like a Major Harris or a Pat White, then I would feel that way. He's a guy who's reliant on his offensive line. He's a guy who's reliant on his wide receiving core. He's a guy who needs a run game to be a 10-win team. And that's not knocking him because most quarterbacks need that. But this is not a go as JT Daniels goes. Now, if he's bad, then we have no chance. We'll be terrible. But if he's good, even if he's good, we still might only win 6 or 7 games.
This is a we'll go as far as our offensive line takes us. I think we have a solid running back group. I'm not saying they're the most elite, but I think we have a little diversity and depth there at running back to get us through, unlike last year. Our receivers seem solid enough. There's possibilities with them. But honestly, the straight-up truth is, if our offensive line is good, we will have a good year. And if they're bad, we're going to have a bad year. Simple as that. We'll go as far as the offensive line takes us this year. That's how I feel.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure about the receivers still. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that P word that has not been realized, potential. But I think you have nice, you know, Reese Smith underneath has shown the ability to catch the ball and wiggle.
If Reese Smith or Preston Fox, for that matter, are our leading receivers in any capacity, we are in trouble.
No, but that's not where I was going. I was going to name, he's reliable underneath. So if Bryce Ford Wheaton can show consistency, if Sam James has the ability, if he can show consistency, that's a bigger thing. I have more faith. I wouldn't be as shocked to see the receiving core be solidly good as I am going to be if the offensive line is solidly good. And but hopefully I'm wrong. The offensive
line returns starters for the second year in a row. Like, I would expect the offensive line to be seasoned and solid.
Yeah, no, Brandon, I haven't seen it. Like, I understand, second year in a row, but I haven't seen it in a few years in Morgantown, us have a good offensive line. And so these same guys are coming back. Hopefully they've grown. Hopefully they've hit and reached their potential, but I haven't seen it yet. So, like, I would honestly... Like, if I had to put money on it, I would say, hey, they're going to be ho-hum. We'll see. I know that's not the way people are talking. I know that's not the way the coaching staff is talking. I'm telling you how I feel, especially because of the last few years. The way we ended last year doesn't have me feeling any more positive. Hopefully I'm wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope we're both wrong, but I'm with you.
Brandon, tell me. I was going to say tell me you've seen it, but everybody saw it. Everybody saw Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. Two West Virginia boys, two friends, former friends, going at it on national TV, ESPN. Everybody's talking about it, which I think is good for college football because, once again, now you're talking about college football. But here we are, this beef. Nick Saban comes out and talks about Texas A&M cheating, which is throwing shots at Jimbo. Jimbo responds and says, look, Nick, you really don't want nobody looking to see what you got, you know, in your backyard. So pipe down. Brandon, it got real. It got intense. Were you here for it?
I was here for every moment of it. I lived and I hung on every word that was being said, that Nick Saban said, that was responded to on social media, that Jimbo decided to have a press conference at 10 a.m. to address. Jeremy, think about this. Jimbo called Nick Saban a narcissist. Well, who has a 10 a.m. press conference just to talk about being accused of something that somebody didn't even accuse them directly of?
Brandon, come on.
Unless you're a narcissist yourself.
No, it's not even about narcissists. No, Brandon, that's uncalled.
Jeremy, I heard multiple people say that, and I agreed. Jimbo Fisher is just, he's full of crap. He's such a liar.
But he has a program to protect. You just
then do a better job being honest and not cheating.
Well, if he cheated, he'd have been in trouble.
He is in trouble. He literally had a show called penalty.
My thing is this. First of all, do you know how mad you have to be? Like, this wasn't like Jimbo just got this and 20 minutes later he had a press conference. It was the next morning. He slept on it. A lot of people say, hey, let me sleep on it, because it came out more reasonable the next day. Do you know how mad you have to be to still go as hard in the paint as Jimbo went the next day?
Jimbo went scorched earth, son.
Mad. I know Dion got mentioned too. Oh,
let me address it. Look, can I address that?
Go ahead.
People try to make it, multiple people, several people, prominent people try to make it a race thing.
All right, stop. I'd not heard that. I kept thinking, I hope nobody. Go ahead.
No, they did. Multiple people made it a race thing. And people were like, sometimes kids just want to go play with their people. And I agree, there are kids who want to play at HBCUs, and that's good for them. And I love that. But at the same time, this could not be considered a race thing because the first person he mentioned was Jimbo. The person he mentioned most was Jimbo. The team he mentioned most was Texas A&M. That's who he talked about. That's who he focused on. He also threw in Jacksonville State.
Yeah. But, and by the way,
just want to make it clear, in my estimation, this was not a race thing. Had he gone after Deion and not gone after Jimbo or anyone else, then maybe you could make that case. This is not a case where this is racism. Not even close.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some instances that are, and there's some that are not. And in my estimation, this is not. How about he went after him because it's Jacksonville State who, I'm going to say 99.9% of us had never even heard of before Deion got there, who gets the number one player in the country?
Yeah.
Or at least at his position?
Yeah.
What? Maybe that's the reason why he called him out, which obviously is the exact reason why he called him out. We've never seen, you know, a UC Charleston getting the number one player in the country when it comes to recruiting. So it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. Unless they know something I don't know, it seems ridiculous to me to try to blame this on anything else other than the fact that it's absurd that one of the top 10 kid goes anywhere, you know, except for a top tier program.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny, by the way, I know this Will Smith thing has been beat to death, but I just feel like Jimbo, he what he wanted to say was, keep my program's name out your mouth. That's what he said, pretty much.
Word for word, almost.
And it got real. But I want to move on to the NBA, Brandon.
We want to talk Rodney Gallagher.
Oh, I forgot about Gallagher. I meant to talk Gallagher right after we talked about the transfers. Rodney Gallagher, yeah. Brandon. Let them know. Let the people know this kid that we just got to commit. It's a verbal commitment. Matter of fact, Actually, you know what? See, I'm being a negative Nancy. I saw this meme when I think it was like somebody looking at their son. He's like, I got to be honest with you. verbal commitments aren't real. You know, like as if he's telling him,
yeah,
Santa not being real. Verbal.
But the truth is, verbal commitments do give your team momentum, and at this point, it puts us at number 15 ahead of Michigan and Texas, I believe, for the recruiting class in 2023. So it gives you momentum when you're going to recruit other kids to say, these are the kids we have committed at this point. So you're right. They're not real, and I don't take them too seriously, but this seems pretty serious. And he picked us over some powerhouse programs. And that's plus, a big deal.
He's a receiver, right?
He's a four-star wide receiver named Rodney Gallagher from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. It's a big deal to get a kid from Pennsylvania, to get a kid who's that close to Pitt, but also close to us. That's a big deal. And Penn State and Pitt were trying to say that this is about NIL money. Some people saying that WVU guaranteed him $500,000 a year. Jeremy, there was a study done to see who's in the best position as far as NIL is concerned. Guess where West Virginia came in?
Out of those teams, or out of everybody in the country?
Out of everybody in the country.
It had to be the bottom quarter. Number
65, Jeremy. Okay. Number 65 for NIL.
Yeah.
A Power 5 program. You keep talking about coal money. There is no money. It's gone. And West Virginia landed Rodney Gallagher anyway. They've landed a top 15 class so far anyway. They've got Rodney Gallagher is the sixth highest recruit since they've kept track of these numbers, recruiting numbers, the sixth highest recruit in the history of West Virginia University football, just behind Geno Smith. Sean Manning put out that it's basically been boom or bust for the top five recruits. Noel Devine, Justin Gwaltney, Jason Gwaltney, Brandon. Oh, let me see. Let me read it real quick. I'll tell you for sure. Because it's Geno and it sticks. Ivan McCartney. But out of those, as you just basically heard me say, it's basically boom or bust. It's boom or bust, and hopefully Rodney Gallagher will be a boom. Brandon Barrett, that's who it was, from Martinsburg. He was a bust, as was Jason Gwaltney. As Ivan McCartney was sometime. He had moments, at least. He gave something. So basically what I was saying about Rodney Gallagher is this is a big, big deal. There's been booms, there's been busts, but this is good for momentum. It's good for national prestige. It's good for Neil Brown. It's good for morale. It's good for the fan base. All of this is good. This is a big day. This being Thursday, the day after Rodney Gallagher decides verbally that he's a Mountaineer.
Love it. Love it. Bring him in. I don't know if it was Nico. I don't know if it was JT Daniels. I don't know if it was Graham Harrell. I don't know if it was Neil Brown. And more importantly, I don't care.
I do not care.
Just bring them all in. Bring all the talent in. To get a guy like him, I think you said it the best. When I said it, verbal commitments aren't real, that's true. But when you talk about the momentum, like people love to be on the in crowd. Everybody, not just the in crowd, but when you start putting a team together and people see it and catch wind of it and can be a part of it, that's a big deal. And getting a guy like this, who else is that going to attract? Oh, snap. You see Gallagher? See Gallagher went to West Virginia? Hey, who's next? Who's next? I love it.
Me too.
Did you want to get into the NBA? You got any feelings about the NBA or you just want to let it go?
Let's let it go. We can talk about that next week when it's finals.
All right. We'll get into it when we hit the finals. We're not going to talk about how Luka is allergic to defense. We're not going to talk because there's a difference between not being good on defense and not caring to even try. We're also not going to talk about how the Celtics are so sometimesy. Sometimes they look like the 97 Bulls. Sometimes they look like the 2021 Philadelphia 76ers. You never know what you're getting from them. They're just so sometimesy. But we'll actually start talking about the NBA Finals matchup when it actually takes place. But for now, that's it from the RVK, JN Fiend. I also hate Pitt. We're in the building, in the booth, and we'll catch you next week.
Sports Social
Social Podcast Network.